you're ready to say yes to your wealthiest and most abundant life, overflowing bank accounts, and a deep sense of inner fulfillment, well, then you are definitely in the right place. Welcome to the Girl Unfiltered podcast. I'm your host, Helena Grace Donald, and I'm a money mindset expert, success, and business coach. But really, all you need to know is that I am obsessed with helping women feel safe and in total flow around money. So let's do this. Hello, ladies. Welcome back to the Girl Unfiltered podcast. So I have a question for you, and I think I know the answer to it, but have you ever felt like you are just a terrible money manager? In fact, do you feel like that's one of your money mindset blocks to actually receiving and kind of creating the wealth that you desire? Because the belief that I am a terrible money manager is one of the top five money mindset blocks that I see so many women struggling with. And it was one that I struggled with. I used to walk around literally telling myself, I'm terrible with money. I'm bad with money. Don't send money my way. I'm really bad with it. That was basically energetically what I was saying. So no wonder I didn't feel safe charging my high ticket prices, because if the belief behind it is that I don't even know what to do with money, then I'm not really flinging my arms open wide to receive it, am I? So that is the very, very reason why I have invited today's podcast interviewee on to come and chat with us. I really am excited to introduce you to Christina Christoforou. She is in the UK and she is actually a finance coach and a certified accountant. And today we're going to chat about some of the common traps that she sees women falling into when it comes to managing their money and their finances in their business, some of the mindset beliefs to bust through, and some of the things that you can start implementing and really seriously thinking about when it comes to the finances in your business. So you might even want to go grab a pen and paper or open up the notes section on your phone, because there are some really key takeaways that I think you guys will be excited to implement after listening to this podcast. So let's do this. I am very, very, very excited about today's guest, because I feel like I'm going to learn a lot more about running the finances in my own business, because I'm speaking to a finance coach who has over two decades of experience working with multi-million pound businesses. And her experience is all about bridging the gap between being the CEO in your company and an accountant. And I think that's so important for all of us female entrepreneurs to dive into more detail in. So welcome, Christina Christoforou, to the podcast. We're so happy to have you here.
Thank you so much. I'm literally buzzing. This is my first ever podcast interview, so I'm really, really excited.
Oh, I'm so honored. I feel like you're going to get so many more podcast interviews after this once people hear everything that you have to say, because it's so valuable. So I've been stalking your Instagram a little bit. That's what I like to do. And I think you came up with this quote, or I read it somewhere on your page, and you said, finance should be seen as a tool for growth rather than just a measure of growth. And girl, it gave me chills, because it is so in alignment with my belief system and what I teach the women who work with me.
Thank you so much.
Before we dive into all of the amazing tips and tools that you have, because we're going to talk about cash flow and how women can manage their money in their business, I honestly want to know, like, what made you so passionate about money? Like, I want to hear your story of how you got into doing what you do today.
So it basically all, I think, stemmed from when I was at school. I was like a really sort of seen as a slow learner. And literally, if I look back at all of my school reports when I was in secondary school, even at primary school, they were always like, oh, Christina's very slow. If she wants to meet average, you know, she has to learn to work faster. And, you know, she has to learn to kind of like follow, like, not the rules, but follow everyone else. And I think it kind of like got me thinking. I was like, I felt like I was a bit of a failure, I guess, almost, you know, because I looked back, I said to my parents, I was like, were you guys not worried about me?
Really? Wow.
Like the reports were just like, oh my God, she's terrible at everything.
Oh my gosh.
So when you was at school, I don't know if they still do it now, I had like work experience, and I got a work experience in a law firm. And I tried out different things within the firm, and I ended up in the finance department. And I was just like, I love this. I love the vibe. I was always kind of engaging with a lot older people than my age. So at 16, when I left school, I was due to go to college to do finance and accounting, but a job came up at this firm and they said, do you want to try for it? And I hadn't reached, like, you know, they were looking for people that had A to C in maths and English. And I had a C in English, but I had a D in maths when I left school at GCSE level. And they was like, okay, well, we'll try you and let's see how we get on. And then basically, yeah, I qualified with two different accounting bodies, got nominated for an accountancy award and become sort of finance director of multi-million pound businesses. And here I am, like 19 years later.
Holy crap. I mean, that just goes to show, no matter what business you're in or what you do, is not letting your past dictate your future.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't let the D in the maths basically dictate that you weren't good with money. And I love that. And that's really, really powerful and a really amazing lesson for all of us to learn. Like, you went for it anyway. Were you aware of the fact that you were going for it anyway at the time? Like, was there a story you were telling yourself?
Even throughout my accountancy exams, like even when I was in my job, you know, every time, I remember there was this one time I moved from a job and I basically got a 10 grand pay rise when I moved jobs. And I was like, oh my God, they're going to catch me out. Like, full on imposter like syndrome came to me. And I was like, oh my God, these people are going to realize that I'm no good. And all through that. And I think that was kind of really what spurred me on. And through my jobs, like all the different roles that I went into, I saw a pattern emerging that I was like this person that came in and redefined teams and like really helped build team morale and like, and get like, got them to, like, I saw the strength in other people. And I was like, yeah, I really want to do this. I really want to empower other people to kind of get past this limiting belief like I have. And I think throughout when I was studying, it was a real tough journey. Every time I had an exam, I would cry and break down and be like, I can't do this. But here I am.
That's amazing. And I have to ask, like, when you went into the corporate world and you were dealing with like the financial departments and dealing with, you know, other companies and their financial departments, were there many women surrounding you or were you quite unique?
I think I was, in terms of like seniority, I was like probably one of the very few women like managers that I had. And it was a real tough, like, especially within the legal industry, because the legal industry is so old school and it's obviously like predominantly men, older men that become partners. And I found it quite difficult. I had to become a person that I'm not.
Wow.
And it's taken me like nearly 3 years to kind of become, allow the person who I really am to kind of shine through and step into that personality. Because I think when I went into it, I was 16, I didn't really know who I was. And I had to become this kind of like, almost like a ball breaker, you know, a real tough person. I had to go up against these people. You had to like really hold your ground with these people. And I remember like my old managers, they was like, you're too emotional. You need to take the emotion out of things. And I was like, but that's who I am. You know, that's, I am passionate. I am emotional. And you almost have to become somebody else. And yeah, it was tough.
Wow. I'm just fascinated by that and the identities that we feel we have to become in order to quote unquote reach success. I just wonder, what's it been like stripping it back to becoming the real, honest, truthful version of you? And is that some of the passion that you have now? Because you specifically really do help women. Is that fueling you as you do educate and inspire other women with their finances?
Yeah, I feel like for me, I just genuinely attract women as clients. It's not that I'm like, oh, I don't ever want to work with men, but I just feel like women are just so much more like receptive to learn and they're like willing to really try. Whereas I feel like with men, they're more about, oh, just do it for me. Whereas women are like, oh no, I want to understand. I want to get over these limiting beliefs. And, you know, I found when I was heading up teams, I just saw a light. Like, I don't know, you just see a light in people and you're like, I really want to help you. I really want to make you feel like the best you can be. And I think it's something that I'm really passionate about. So many women that come to me, they're like, oh, I'm not good with numbers. Numbers aren't my forte. And I'm like, dude, I am literally the image of that person. I got a D in maths and I still became finance director of multi-million pound company. I am that person. If I can do it, you can do it. And I just love that like story about being able to share that with people and be like, listen, I was terrible with numbers. Like,
yeah, I understand that completely. I mean, I've built a company from the ground up pretty much by myself. I mean, now I have a team growing that as I go, but I work a lot with the beliefs, the money mindset beliefs that women have. Like that is just it. Oh, just love doing this work. And one of the biggest beliefs that women have that I had myself when they come to me is I'm a terrible money manager. We have to bust through that belief for them to build this just solid foundation so that they feel safe actually receiving the money that they're setting out for their income goals. And you obviously play such a massive part in that because you're helping women, you're educating them in understanding how to run their businesses financially. So I'd love to hear about more about how you do that, because I think most people will probably say, well, shouldn't I go to an accountant? Like that would be their first thought, perhaps. Like, should I go to an accountant? And I know that you bridge the gap between sort of what you do and an accountant. So what is the difference between what you do and an accountancy, I suppose?
Yeah, I mean, so basically like when you start out in business, you know, oh my God, I need an accountant to sort out my taxes. That is like the go-to thing for people. So they go and find an accountant. But generally, when you're starting in business, you think money is tight, right? Like generally, no one has a massive influx of money. You're very careful with it, especially because you're maybe coming at things from where you've got a limited belief about a money mindset. So you don't really understand what an accountant does. And accountants, I feel like they talk in this jargon, or at least most of them. I have like teamed up with a lot of accountants that don't, but they talk in this jargon. And, you know, a lot of women are like too intimidated to ask any questions. And they're just like, oh, they must know what they're talking about. And there's like words being thrown around like asset depreciation, amortization. And people are like, oh, okay. Yeah. They're like, oh my God, I have no idea what any of that means, but I know this person knows what they're talking about. So I have that background because obviously I am a fully qualified accountant, but I've seen the side of it where I'm like, well, I'm also a business owner and I've worked in these commercial businesses. And when you're a business that's generating multi-million pounds, you have the abundance of money to be like, oh yeah, we're just going to get a team of people to deal with this. Whereas the people that really need that help are the startups and like the people that are 2-3 years in business that don't have a full-on team, or even 5 years in business. And what I found was is that I was speaking to people more and more and they were like, oh yeah, you know, people track their sales on a piece of paper. They look in Stripe, PayPal, and there's no one centralized place. And I'm like, you don't have to have thousands of pounds of like equipment in, or, you know, team members. It's just like about simple, like just talking them through it logically. Like I held a training over this week and it was all about a cash flow forecast, because I was seeing so many people being like, oh, I know I need a forecast. Like I know you need a cash flow, but I don't know where to start. And I was like, listen, you guys do this in your everyday life. If you pay for any kind of bills, that's a forecast. You'd be like, okay, I know that this phone contract is going to cost me £50 a month for the next 2 years. Can I afford that? Yes. Okay. That's forecasting. You know, you'd be like, okay, so out of the £2,000 a month that I earn, I know £50 of it is going to be taken up. That is a forecast. And that's what I'm trying to bring to people. And it's more about taking them from being fearful about finance to bringing clarity and transparency in their numbers and showing them actually how their numbers can help leverage their business. You know, I had a training and I was like, who guys can, at this point in the month, who can tell me what profit they're making? And so many people said no. And I'm like, how do you know where you're at? And it's not about shaming people. It's like, okay, it's cool. Now we know, right, going forward, that this is a priority for you. How can we make this easier? And it's about giving those people like accountability. So it's more about, you know, when you have an accountant, they don't have time to be in your business because they're churning out tax returns, and that's their skill set. It's not that they're bad accountants or anything like that. It's just that they don't have the time and it's not their area. Whereas what I do is I'm like, okay, I'm in your business. We have calls, we have sessions. I'm looking at your forecast. You know, if you're about to invest in something, let's look at it to make sure it's going to take you closer to your goals rather than further away. And, you know, just kind of looking at, well, what could we use that money for if it's not for, I don't know, some other thing? Maybe it could help serve you get 3 new VAs, which is actually more of a scalable tactic to use, you know, because that then frees up your time rather than investing in, I don't know, software or like at that specific point in time. You know, it's just about helping people stay accountable and having that person to be like, a sounding board being like, Christina, this is what I'm thinking, or I'm freaked out, clients might leave me. And it's like, look, I can see, I'm in your business, I can see the figures. Even if they leave you, it's okay. You've got your cash reserve, you know?
Yeah, that's amazing. I'm really interested because I'm sure you see it on a daily basis and I see it on a daily basis. And I'm like, and I'm really interested to see what your version is. Like, what are some of the biggest money mindset blocks that you see women have, either like right before they sign up with you or right when you start working with them? What are some of the blocks that they have around money?
I think it's a lot of them are like this whole thing of, oh, I'm not good with finance. I'm not good with numbers. I'm not good with money. It's kind of like a bit like the employee mindset. And this isn't against any people that have a 9-to-5 or anything like that. But you know, every month on the 30th of the month, you're going to get paid. So you, if you spend all your money, you know, you're going to get that money back and it's okay. And I think a lot of people have that mindset still. And it's like, actually, no, you need to. When these people, I spoke to somebody this morning, they was like, oh, when I looked, I've done like nearly £3,000 in sales this month. And I was like, oh, okay, that's amazing. She was like, but I've only got £1,000 in my bank. She was like, I don't know where the money went. You need to step into that and be like, okay, that's cool. I don't know right now, but now I know I need to make sure that from now on, because it's very different being a solo entrepreneur to being a CEO of a 7-figure business or a 6-figure business, you know. And what I'm trying to do is help those people grow into that role, because I've seen it and I've mentored people and team members and managing directors. I'm trying to help them get to that part. So the limiting belief is a lot of that they just don't think they can do it.
Yeah. They don't think they can even manage their money. Like, they just don't even know how to.
Yeah. And then because of that, they're scared to charge their worth. And I think a lot of people, when they start in business, like I know I did it when I started in business, I was charging such a small amount for what I was doing. You've got that employee mindset again. It's like, oh, well, can possibly ask for that much money. Like, no one would pay that. And, you know, like they are.
Yeah. It's amazing how much our inner self-worth is tied up to our relationship with money. And I see that reflected in my clients' businesses all the time. And that's what I help them bust through. And I just love when I see women out there helping empower other women financially, because it has such a knock-on effect on all areas of life. And what you were saying is so, I see this all the time, is women are scared to even look at the money. So they don't even want to check their bank accounts. And so I get, like, you have to get them to be accountable to knowing their pricing in and out, like exactly what's in their accounts. And I get women to look at their accounts like every single day. I'm not really doing it from like a financial management place. I'm doing it from like a mindset place. Like, you need to know and feel safe checking your money and finding gratitude for it. So is that even something that like you have to get your women to do, is check your money?
Yeah, exactly. And that's like basically like part of the programs that I'm bringing out, is like, you need to make it easy to check your bank account. I think what a lot of business owners do is that they're like, oh, I'm going to base decisions on what I've got in my bank account right now. And I'm like, well, you do not know what is around the corner. So don't base it on what you have right now. Let's look to the future. Let's make sure that your future is secure. So I think a lot of it is this accountability and just being like, you know what? It's okay if you check your bank account and you're at negative right now, because we know you can't move forward unless you know what you're dealing with. And like, that's why I say about like finance should be used as a tool to grow rather than just to measure, because I think a lot of people are like, oh yeah, it's really good to track your numbers. Yeah, it's good to track them, but it's better to use them to help you grow.
And how do you support your ladies in creating that growth? Because I honestly am excited to hear what you do to help them, I guess, reframe and start implementing that within their businesses so that they can multiply their profits.
Yeah, it's always talking to them about, right, where are you currently and where do you want to be in 12 months time? But it's not just like, oh, where do you want to be financially? It's like, where do you want to be in life? Do you want to be in a different country helping build schools for children? Because then there's no point in me trying to help you scale to a 7-figure business that is going to require a lot of your time. We need to think of a different strategy. So I'm constantly looking at things to be like, okay, but this isn't aligned with what your original goal is. And I think as you start, you know, developing your, like being a market leader, especially with the online space, you can be like, oh my God, I've been asked to do these, you know, be affiliate of this ambassador of this brand. And I'm like, that's more of your time, number one. And is it aligned with where you want to be in 2, 3, 4, 12 months time, 24 months time? And it's just basically just trying to bring them back to remembering your why. Like, why are you doing this? You want to be able to travel the world. You want financial freedom. It's like, don't keep giving people your time and energy if it's not aligned to what you want to do. I think I'm a very like intentional person. And as a qualified accountant, like, I'm bound by guidelines of my accounting body to make sure that I am impartial and make sure that my clients get the best for their business. So it's like, not just from a, I really care. It's like, I have to do this legally. Make sure that you guys don't go off and like on a tangent. And so if they want to factor in, maybe they're having a baby, looking at how your business can run without you being so stressed about money. And it's like, if you want to take 6 months off, that's cool. Let's factor it into the plan.
Oh, I love that. Okay. I actually want to talk about that because that might be relevant to my life coming up in the next year or so. I love obviously talking about money and planning for the future. So I am starting to implement some of that stuff, but I would love to hear it from your perspective because I know so many women listening either probably will be considering having a baby in the future or already are pregnant or already have children. So I think it would be awesome for our listeners to hear, like, how would you plan for that with a woman?
Yeah, I think it's like, obviously it depends on how imminent it is.
Yeah, okay.
What I tend to do with all of my clients, as soon as they come on board, I'm like, right, set up a separate savings account and any income that you get, 20% of that goes into your pot. And that pot is like, okay, that's your tax savings, but generally your tax or whatever the tax rate is, obviously I'm UK based, so it's like 20%, 40%, those type of things. But it's looking at, okay, let's just get you into the mindset of knowing that every time you earn £100, 20 of that pounds is not yours. It's like another bill. I took about 6 months off my business last year, purely based on like my cash reserves, because I was like, I got so stressed with work. I'd built my financial outsourcing business up and I was like, I don't want to do this. This isn't what I want to do. I want to serve more people. I got so scared with everything. So I was like, okay. But I had that to fall back on. So I was comfortable knowing that if I wanted to sit and watch Netflix all day, I could and not have a problem. Don't feel scared to look into the future. And I think a lot of people, we've been told you can't have it all. Like, I've been told that pretty much by a lot of people.
Screw that. Screw that.
Yeah. And I'll be 35 next week. And you meet people and they're like, oh, so got any kids? It's the first thing I ever hear. Oh, no. Okay. Are you married? No. Oh, did you take the corporate route? And you're like,
they really ask you that. Oh my gosh. Wow.
That's not a thing anymore. You know, you're like, so I think it's just about take a moment to just look up right where you are currently and where you want to be. If a baby is on the way, or if you want to take 6 months out traveling or whatever it is that you want to do, that's cool. Then put that into it's like another bill. Just think of it as another bill and just slowly start building up that cash reserve. And before you know it, you'll have an abundance pot. Like, somebody called it an abundance pot, which I love. And I think that's just how I would sort of start with it. And it's then just being like, it's okay to factor those things into your plans. And then it's looking at, right, what your business is it scalable or does it need you constantly in it? I would then look to go, okay, so I had a call with a client Monday and their business currently model is very much them. So it's looking at, okay, well, how can we make sure that your business still thrives, but reserving your time? So it's looking at what people or like systems can we put in place to streamline these things and to allow those things to happen so that as you grow, to work with you one-on-one, it eventually will need to be, that's your high ticket offer, you know, because that's your time. They're not just paying for your time, they're paying for my nearly 20 years in finance. And so it needs to be reflective of that. And it's kind of then just helping them, like giving them that little like push to be like, okay, like slowly but surely, I feel like that's what people need. They just need that nurture and that comfort.
I feel like I do have to say, because I know I'm going to get some DMs, I am not pregnant, because I know some people are going to ask you that. But I'm planning for it. And like, that's why I'm so glad that you, like, everything that you've just said has resonated with me, because it's some of the things that I've started to shift into my business. And I think what you said is so key. And I've realized the more and more I do work with women that a lot of them are scared to look into the future. And yet it is one of the most empowering things that you could ever do. So I'm not pregnant, but we are, you know, we're planning 2-3 years into advance of what that would look like. I own my own business, so I don't get paid maternity leave. I am the CEO of my business. So I thought backwards, and my husband and I even worked out. We said, okay, look, what do you need to live the lifestyle that you want to live with a baby, working backwards? And how much is that going to cost you? How much is that going to cost us? So we've crunched the numbers and we know right down to the childcare costs what we need to save in advance of that happening. And so then we just work backwards. And I love what you said. It's like looking at what you're earning and seeing it sort of as another bill. And so it's just a brilliant way of managing it, because what if you did think in advance, that far in advance, how much more safe and at ease would you feel a year, 2 years, 3 years from now to take that time off, whether it's to travel or to have a baby or do what you need to do, knowing that that money is in the bank? I just think it's just a brilliant, empowering way for us to feel as women.
Yeah. And I think what's also important is it's not just about the money. It's like, you know, when you do have a baby, like most people think, I know a lot of people, they go, oh yeah, I'm going to be exactly the same. Like, but your priorities shift. You won't want to spend 50, 60 hours a week on your business because you want that time with your child. You have to factor those things. And like, it's not that you're a bad person or anything like that. It's like, you're allowed. Like, you want a family, you want connection. Like, you want your child to feel that you're there. And so it's looking at how you can balance that in the future as well, so that you have that time in both.
Absolutely. Yeah. So for those, like, kind of circling away from the baby talk, because we could talk a lot about that. There's probably going to be two groups of women that could be listening. There's like more of the startups in the first year of business. And then there's probably the six-figure earners who could potentially move into seven figures. But I want to start at the beginning. Straight out the gate, what do you wish more solopreneurs had in place in their businesses or their finances or actions that they were taking in the beginning? What would you say to them?
It would just be, like I said, first of all, treat at least 20% of your income that you get as a bill and put it into a savings account, like whether that be an investment savings account or anything like that. But it's just about, just see that as another bill, because it will serve you. It's not just about having the money. It's a habit that you will carry forward with you into when you are 6-7 figures. Because I work with 6-figure businesses and they're not in that position. I work with multi-million pound businesses and they're not in that position. You know, that solo entrepreneur, that startup, they get to those multi-million pound businesses. And because their money mindset doesn't change, they don't know any different. They then become that person at that multi-million pound level. So I would say straight away, implement that in your business. Second thing would be, if you're working with an accountant, do not be afraid to ask them questions. If they're talking a load of jargon to you, like, feel free to reach out to me and I will decipher, like, and I'm there to support you. It's about also like taking ownership of your numbers and being like, okay, don't feel like it's overwhelming, because it's not. Like, it's just the thought process that you've told yourself, that because finance is like a big thing, you know, you've got in the UK HMRC, you've got the IRS, where people think, oh my God, they're going to come after me. Don't think like that. Like, just be thinking about, okay, like, let me break this down. Look at your sales, profit and cash. They're the three main things that you need to be thinking about. And if you don't look at any others, it's cash. But looking at the cash that you have in your bank, and how is that going to serve you in the next 3 to 6 months? Always be thinking at least 3 months ahead to be like, okay, if I don't earn anything, can I live in the next 3 months? Because that way you'll always feel brave, because you've got that cash and you'll be like, okay, I'm good. I know for 3 months, if I don't get any clients, I've got it.
Yeah, definitely. And that can start small, because there might be some women who are listening who are like, well, I don't have enough money for 3 months. And I'm like, well, you could start literally by putting energetically £20 into a savings account every month. How would that multiply? And just beginning somewhere rather than nowhere, I think makes a huge difference to your mindset and your energy around money.
Definitely. And like, you know, when I started my business, I cut down all of my costs. You know, I wanted to really make a go of it. So I was like, okay, I left my job. I didn't have this 60 grand job anymore. And I was like, okay, how am I going to do this? So I had a bit of savings, but I cut down all of like the stuff that I don't need, because I think especially right now we've seen in lockdown.
Yes.
How much, like how little we need to live on. And so it's like, okay, let me just make my business a priority, or, you know, let me just make my savings a priority. And yeah, I think obviously if you're in debt, like looking at making sure that you can free up your money. So trying to pay off some debt. I'm not a debt specialist or anything, but like that's basically what I did and things like that. So
yeah. You talked a little bit about investments, and this is definitely the next phase for me personally. I'm really educating myself on how I want to invest my money to really grow in the long run. But it is so overwhelming at times. I'm not going to lie. Like, I sit down and I'm like trying to educate myself on it so that I can feel really confident where I put my investments. And it's something we're just not taught. And I talk about it on my Instagram sometimes. I talk about investments and I get so many comments or DMs about women just being like, I'm overwhelmed by it. Don't even know where to begin. It feels like another language. And I want so many women to feel empowered around that, because just small decisions around investments when you're hitting 50 or 60 years old could make such a huge difference. So where could some women in business begin? And I guess, when should they begin thinking about investments? Because there's probably some women listening going, oh, I don't have a six-figure or a seven-figure business yet. I can't invest. And yet small investment decisions now are going to make such a huge difference. So what would you say around that?
So like, there are so many useful apps out there. So I have actually an app called Moneybox. Basically, it links to my personal account, and every time I spend, say, 80p, it will take the difference between the 80p and a pound, so the 20p, and it will invest into the stock market, or it can invest into an ISA. And I would say start somewhere like there.
Yeah, that's where I started too, girl.
If you've got a bigger amount to play with, then like, I mean, I have a pension through my business as well. I pay myself a salary and I make myself invest in a pension. So, and like my pen, I don't put a lot in it, but I start. And I think it's just about, like you said earlier, don't get overwhelmed. Just take that first step to start. And looking at things like, I can't remember the other one. Is it Plum that does it as well? Like, I think there's so many useful tools out there. If you have like a six, seven figure business and you're looking at investing, I would highly recommend talking to an actual financial advisor to help you with that. Because, you know, like, I'm lucky, my brother is a financial advisor. So I have that kind of on tap. But like, my brother will sit down and go, okay, this is where we're at. Like, what do you want your life to be like when you retire, type thing? It's then again, being about that dream and like then working backwards to be like, okay, so you want your kids to go to private school. That's cool. Then we need to factor that cost in. And then it's looking at, okay, well, what is affordable and stuff?
Yeah, it's the two main things. It's one, starting somewhere. And for anyone who's listening in the US, I use an app called Acorns. I've even talked about it on the podcast before. It does exactly the same thing as Moneybox. So I will link both of those things below. And I just feel like for me, what that did is it started to train my mindset that I was somebody who invested. Now I'm obviously looking at making much bigger investments, but I started somewhere. And it's like this secret pot of money that just builds. And every so often I go back and I look at it and I'm like, oh, that money is just sitting there growing. Like, and I've not even done anything to really do it other than set up automatic payments into it. And it taking about 27 cents off of every purchase that I make, which I would never, ever miss. Just start somewhere. But then also what you said, which is working backwards. And I feel like that's the theme of this, is not being afraid to work backwards and to look to the future and look at what you want in the future. Because if you start thinking about that today, God, what a difference that makes.
Yeah. And I think as well, like, don't get overwhelmed with thinking, oh, but I don't know what I want in the future. Like, it's okay. Just start with, you know, if you want children, like those type of things, you know. And it's, I think, because people can get like, I know for sure, like when I started getting into like mindset and visualization, a lot of the time people were like, oh, visualize yourself waking up in 5 years time. And I was like, oh my God, I don't know what I want. Like, and so I just started like slowly and I was like, okay, well, let me visualize like the next year, you know, and then you start building up those kind of things. You know, it's not about that it has to be perfect. It's just about like nothing is perfect. It's about just taking that step and keep trying.
Yeah, definitely. Is there an app that you love for the, it must be, I guess, in the UK that tracks cash, or is there anything that you'd recommend for people to track their finances so they can see it more easily?
I think I obviously, I just basically check my, I've got a spreadsheet, like being a finance person, I've had it since I was like 16. And every month I look at like what I've got coming in, and I've just listed all of my bills and the day that they come out. So at any day I can go, okay, I put the date in and I'm like, okay, I know I've still got £300 to come out. So if people want that, like I can obviously share that with them that and for free, like it's not, I don't charge for anything like that. But in terms of an actual app, I don't know. I don't really use one. I know that there are a few, but I can't think of them off the top of my head.
But maybe there's something to be said for empowering yourself and using a spreadsheet, because then it's your own spreadsheet and you get to see the numbers for yourself. So that's really great. I remember you talking very, maybe it was an Instagram story or in a post, and you're talking a little bit about budgeting. And I'd love to hear your thoughts on budgeting, because I feel like being a money mindset coach and talking about abundance and manifestation, I love it. But I sometimes wonder if some people think that the law of attraction or the abundance mindset means just spending money wherever you want and just spiritually trusting all of it's going to come back. And like, while there's something to be said for that, I'm also somebody who loves a good budget and who loves to be smart with their money. And I think that both actually go really, really hand in hand. So I'd just love to hear what you would, I guess, say to one of your clients about budgeting in her business and her life.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to be said about budgeting. I think, you know, it really gets you kind of thinking in realistic terms. Like if I have a client that comes to me and they're like, I'm charging £100 an hour and I want to work 20 hours a week, but I want to get 150 grand. I'm like, okay, you know, whilst I'm all for putting stuff out there and, you know, bringing that law of attraction, I'm like, you have to be real with yourself. It's not that you can't get to 150 grand, but we have to change your business. And the way that I do that is through basically looking at breaking the numbers down. So that is the training that I did recently is a cash flow. You know, I got people to go, right, list out all of your spend right now, personal and business, because as a solo entrepreneur, the two go hand in hand. And then it's like, okay, now list out the services that you're offering and the costs involved with those services, and list out the potential sales. And then you can see it on like the third tab, is it lays it out in a month by month spreadsheet. So it's like almost like a budget. You're kind of then like, you can see it's a forecast, right? So you can see, oh, okay, if I carry on this route, this is what I'm going to make. And this, and at the end of it, it shows you at the end of each month, how much you're anticipated to have in your bank account. If it's showing a negative, you know, there's a problem. And you know, you can't, like I've said before, you can't move forward unless you know what you're dealing with now. And I think a budget really helps with that. It just goes, okay, like, you know, these multi-million pound businesses deal with budgets. I think as you start going down the route of success and you start getting the money, people are really excited to invest their money because they want to scale further. But it's like, hold on a minute, is it in your budget? If it's not, can you one, afford it? And is it gonna, like, I've got like, with people that join one of my like programs, the Money Conversator, I give like a purchase checklist. So it's like, okay, is this cost going to take you closer or further away from your goal? And it's then getting people in that mindset of going, okay, before I invest this money, let me think about it. Let's not impulse buy, because I think a lot of people that I work with are very spiritual and holistic. So they're very impulse, like I'm quite an impulsive person as well. But it's like taking you step back a bit and be like, hang on, is this right for me? Like, am I acting purely based on emotion? And is this going to get me in line with my goals? Because I think there's a lot to be said. Like, I'm not saying you have to be like totally rigid with your budget. That's flexibility. But it's just giving you that space to think and look at the bigger picture.
Yeah, definitely. And that's really what makes you in alignment with any of the decisions that you're making. And I'm all about being in alignment. And that is spiritual. Your mind, body, money connection has to be completely in alignment when you make any kind of decision like that. And I think that's how we grow, and that's how we grow our finances. So I think there's so much to be said for that. And being aware of where your money is going and how it's going to grow for you, I think is really empowering. Do you have any other tips for creating more cash flow in a business, or something that you see as a common trend that women are falling into that you're like, want to shake you and change this?
I think I would just say set time aside each week. I know people might think it's a bit overkill, but set time aside each week just to look at like your finances. You should be checking your bank account every day just to make sure that you've got like your eye on the ball. Like I know what's coming out of my bank account, business and personal. And that's not because I'm a finance person. That's because I'm very in tune with my money and knowing, you know, I've nearly paid off my mortgage. Like, and that's through just being that type of person to be like, I know that these are a priority. So it's just about being like, you know, intentional with your time and you like, especially if you run a business, I've got like a CEO day where I just focus on working on my business and rather than in it. When you start, you're so focused on just keep going, keep going, keep going. And actually, sometimes you need that step back to be like, right, wait, where am I with things? Okay, cool. And then you're so much better in tune with things and you can then make decisions based on like education rather than just guesstimation type thing.
Yeah, I love that. Take a CEO day. I love that. That's pretty much my day on a Friday because I actually don't take any clients on a Friday. So it's so important for me to take that time out to do exactly what you were just saying, because it just calms my nervous system, just knowing what's happening, like tying up the loose ends, looking at my finances and my tracking. So that's a really, really great piece of advice.
You start your business because you want freedom, right?
Oh, yeah.
So you have the choice, like you're your own business. So it's like, you know, give yourself that freedom to make that decision.
That's such a brilliant point to end on because it's just encapsulates everything that I stand for. And remembering that your why, remembering the fact that your why is freedom, if that's what it is for you. And I just love that because I think so many women can get caught up with, let me do more and more and more, make more and more and more. And then they lose touch with why are they doing it in the first place? And that's unique to everybody. And that should stand for your finances as well. So I love that you said that. Thank you so much for joining us. It has been a pleasure speaking to you. Please, can you share where everyone can go and find you on social media or any places that you'd love them to go say hi?
Yeah, I'm basically always on Instagram stories. I'm on Facebook as well, but it's at Christina Cristoforu. And yeah, like just come and say hi. Let me know if you've listened, if you need any tips. Like I'm always on Instagram stories talking something or another. I literally jam my life on there.
Me too. Oh, I love that. And yeah, everyone actually go screenshot this episode and then share in the story when you're posting it, like what your biggest tip from this was and what you're going to implement in your finances moving forward, because we would both love to hear what your biggest takeaway was and just say hi to you. We love saying hi on your DMs. Thank you so much. And I'm sure I'll talk to you soon. And I look forward to learning more on your channel.
Thank you so much. Thank you for the opportunity.
If you loved today's episode, please be sure to leave a review on iTunes and hit the subscribe button because women supporting women is my jam. And if you want extra daily doses of motivation, then be sure to follow me on Instagram @girl_unfiltered. And go ahead and screenshot this episode, send me a DM and share your biggest takeaway because I love hearing from you and I just really want to drop into your DMs basically. So I'm sending you so much love and abundance and have an amazing day.